Amen. I want us to open our Bibles, please, in Acts of the Apostles, the chapter number 3. Third chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And we just read some verses. We'll read the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 3. Follow the reading of God's precious word tonight. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word. I want you to keep your Bibles open here, and we're going to go down this passage of God's word, just some simple thoughts, and yet I believe profound thoughts that God would lay on our hearts. It says, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. You know, we often find these two people together, Peter and John. Now, they weren't brothers. There was Peter, and there was Andrew, his brother. There was James, and there was John. But we often find in the scripture story, we often find these two people mentioned together, Peter and John. I was thinking about that, and you know, it's good to have good friends. Here was a good friend of Peter, and here was a good friend of John. They were good friends together in the work of God. They were companions in the work of God. And I think it's the most wonderful thing that when you have precious friends in the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, people that you can depend on. And I believe that Peter could depend on John and John on Peter. And friend, if you have good friends, I'll tell you this, you appreciate them, because I'll tell you, you'll not find many really good friends that are always there, that are always dependable, that are always there when you need them. You can call them at any time of the day or night, and they'll not say, "Would you go away?" Because they're your friends. They're happy to help when it's needed. Now, I see you often find them in the scriptures, because in actual fact, Peter and John were partners in the fishing business before they were saved, before the Lord Jesus Christ ever called them to follow him. We find that they were in partnership in the business of fishing down there at the Sea of Galilee. In the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, we find that it's Peter and John that are sent to prepare the Last Supper in that upper room. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, we find it's Peter and John that whenever they heard that the Lord was risen, they ran together onto the sepulchre. Now, John was the youngest of the disciples. Peter was one of the older of the disciples. And we find that John outran Peter. But whenever he got to the tomb, he did not go into the tomb. He waited until Peter arrived. In actual fact, Peter was the one. John looked in, but Peter was the one that went in. And so we find these two brethren were together. In actual fact, you'll notice that there's quite a difference between them. You know, it's amazing, you know, how that contrasting characters seem to be able to gel together. Because we know that Peter was impetuous Peter. He was the one that you know, he was very outgoing. He always had something to say. Peter was the one that always spoke, and he was one that always was wanting to get there. He was rather forceful in his personality. John, however, we find that John was contemplative. John was a man that was, well, he was rather, you know, at times it seemed to be that he was hesitant, he was willing to stand back. Whilst Peter was forceful, John was tender. John is known as the beloved disciple. He was the apostle of love. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And the Bible says Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Now it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It says here the ninth hour, that was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And they're making their way to the temple and they're going to witness a miracle of God's grace. In actual fact, this miracle here in Acts chapter 3, outside, of course, it was a miracle, the day of Pentecost, where God gave the people to speak in other tongues and be able to reach those that were gathered in that city of Jerusalem that day. Did not we hear them speak in their own language? And so there was a miracle there. But here was the first healing miracle that is recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We find that it was the hour of prayer. Now, it's good for God's people to go to the house of the Lord to pray. And you know, if you want to really serve the Lord, there are two things that walk hand in hand together. There's prayer and service, and they go hand in glove together. I'll tell you this, the man or woman who's faithful in prayer will always find opportunities for service. If you're faithful in prayer, God will always give you opportunities for service. And here we find Peter and John, and they're faithful in prayer, and they're going into the temple at the hour of prayer, and thank God, God is going to use them in his service. Now, lying at the gate of that temple, we find there's a man there. Probably he was lying on a mat. It was quite common in those days. But the Bible tells us here was a man that actually was laid at the gate. The Bible says in verse 2, "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." Now, whilst it's true that Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, this man wasn't. You know, some people come to church for different reasons. This man is not noted here for going to the church to pray. Peter and John were. But what we find is this man was going to beg. This man believed that the place for to be to get someone to have a heart that would be touched, to give him something in his hour of need, was not to sit outside some business, but to sit outside the temple. Because somehow that God would give his people a softer heart to be able to meet his need. And so we find that he was placed there by others. He's sitting there with his hands outstretched. And many come to the gate. And they sit there just like this man. Many come to church, friend, to be honest. Maybe you're here tonight and it's because a friend has asked you. Maybe you're here tonight because your mother has told you. Friend, to be honest, if it was yourself, you wouldn't be in God's house. Because not everybody comes for the same reason. Not everybody comes to worship. Not everybody comes to join in and be a part of the worship of God and give their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. This man did not come to pray. This man came to beg. Now, friend, let me tell you this. The wonder of this story is this, that no matter what the reason you have come, thank God, God can change you. And you may not have come to pray, friend, but I can tell you this, you can stay to pray because God can change your life. I remember a man going one night to a meeting, and he came to interrupt the meeting. He came to stop the preacher preaching the word of God. But I'll tell you this, my friend, whilst he came to interrupt the meeting, he stayed to pray. God changed his purpose of coming, and God changed his life that night, and God changed and saved his precious soul. I want us to notice some simple things in this passage of God's word. Notice first of all his condition. The Bible says in verse number 2, "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried." whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now the Bible says this man was lame from his mother's womb. The Word of God says he was carried. He was not only limping. This man couldn't walk at all. He had to be carried and he had to be laid at the gate, Beautiful, of the temple. In other words, he had a problem walking. He was unable to walk. Now, my friend over in the book of Deuteronomy, in the chapter number 5, in the verse 33, it says this, "Ye shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you." And I'll tell you, the unsaved person cannot do that. They have a problem with their walk. They are not able to walk in the ways that the Lord God has commanded. God says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." But the ungodly man cannot do that. Not one of us could do that of ourselves, my friend, because just like this man, the Bible says he was lame from his mother's womb and had to be carried. He was totally incapable of walking. And I tell you, you cannot walk in the ways of the Lord if you are not saved tonight. You can walk in the ways of the church. You can be a good churchgoer. You can walk in the ways of ritualism. You can be religious. I'm all the ways of religion, friend. But if you are not in Christ and not saved through the blood of Christ, you are not right with God and you cannot walk in the ways of the Lord. I know a lot of people, and I'll tell you, my friend, they're the first to church and they would do anything for the preacher, but they are not saved, and therefore they cannot walk in the ways of the Lord. This man, he was not able to walk because he was out without strength. He had to be carried. And that's what sin has done with us. Sin has taken away our strength, that we are totally incapable of walking in the way of the Lord. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "That at that time you were without strength." And dear man or woman without Jesus tonight, you are without strength. You cannot please God in the life that you're living. You will not appease this righteous and this holy God by your good works or by your self-righteousness or your own doing, because you are without strength. That's what God says. You cannot walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice where this problem started. The Bible says in verse 2, this man was lame from his mother's womb. In other words, it was a birth defect. He had a problem right from the womb. And what that really means, friend, is this. He never walked in his life. He was never able to walk. You know, when parents, you know what it is. What a joy when you lift your little ones up, and you know, and that first time onto their little legs, and my, they begin to get all shaken. You reach out your arms and you ask them to walk. And my, whenever they take the first steps, that's a wonderful moment. Every parent knows that it thrills a parent's heart when their child takes those first few steps. They maybe wobble themselves, they maybe go down, but my, you just lift them back up again, and my, they soon learn to walk. But I'll tell you, my friend, this person never walked. Some children takes longer than others to walk. But this lad never walked at all. The Bible says he was lame from his mother's womb. It was all his life. You say, what age of a man was this? Was he a teenager? No, friend, he wasn't. Was he in his 20s? No, he wasn't. Was he in his 30s? No, he wasn't. Was he in his 40s? I don't know just exactly where it was, but the Bible tells us what age he was. He was above 40. You say, where do you get that? Go to chapter 4, and if you read the Bible, just keep on reading, friend. Just keep reading the book, and it says in verse 22 of chapter 4, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." So he's above 40 years of age, friend, listen, and never walked in his life. Maybe there's someone in the service tonight, let me tell you, and that's your age, and you have never walked in your life. You say, preacher, that's not true. I have walked every day of my life when my mother put me on my little pegs and was able to walk on my own. I've walked every day, friend. No, you've never walked in the ways of the Lord. You have never walked one step to please the Lord. You have walked in your own paths. You have gone your own way. You have lived your own life, but you have never walked in the ways of the Lord. He never walked in the ways of the Lord, just as this man never walked in his life, neither have you. You see, my friend, sin is a problem of the ages. And I don't care what age you are tonight, the Word of God reminds me that we're born in sin. Behold, in sin I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Here was a man, his condition, he was lame from his mother's womb. The Bible says he was carried and laid. In other words, he could go nowhere of himself. And I have to tell you, spiritually, that is true. There is nothing, my friend, that you can do to save yourself. There is nothing that you can do to merit God's salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. There are many people who have gone to church today across this province and across the world, and they're trying to somehow, by their good deeds and by their religious rituals, somehow that they would appease a righteous and a holy God, and that God would somehow be pleased with them, and that God in the end of the journey will let them into heaven. My friend, that's not the book. And if you're relying on that to get to heaven, you'll be in hell. That's not the way to heaven, friend. There is absolutely nothing. This man, he could go nowhere. The Bible says he was carried and he was laid there. And he was laid every day. He had to be brought back every day, sat upon the mat and reached out his begging hand every single day of his life. And he was over 40 years of age. And that's the picture of the sinner, friend. That's the picture of the sinner. There's his condition. Notice the contrast very quickly here. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, historians tell us that this was the eastern gate. It was made of Corinthian brass. It was overlaid with gold and silver. And I want you to think, my friend, just what would happen there. Because whenever the sun would rise over the eastern mountains, and this was the entrance to the temple, I'll tell you, you see on that gate, it was dazzling. It was absolutely brilliant. It dazzled in the sunshine. It was worth a fortune. But I want to tell you this, my friend, at that gate, while it was of great value, there was lying a man who was marred and disfigured and distorted and was outcast. He never made his way into the temple. He always sat at the gate. And on the one hand, the gate displayed wealth. On the other hand, the man displayed woe that sin always brings. And though it's true that man can make many beautiful things, but I'll tell you this, my friend, he cannot make himself beautiful. It's only God can do that. God can make something beautiful out of your life tonight. Your life and your heart can be changed by the power of Christ. You can do everything on the outside to make a change, but I'll tell you this, whatever they did with this man, he was still lame. And whatever changes you make in your life, friend, I want to tell you this. You may try to clean it up. You may try to stop this and stop that and do this and do that. And you say, I'll make changes. I want to tell you, you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. It's only God can change your heart. It's only the blood of Christ can cleanse your soul. And if you think that you're going to make it to heaven, friend, by what you're doing, I want to tell you, you're going to hell, because that's the Word of God. It's not reformation you need, it's transformation by the power of the Spirit of God. And there's multitudes of people tonight, and they're trying to reform their lives, and they're trying to make themselves better, and they're trying to rely upon their own goodness to get them through the pearly gates. I've got to tell you, my friend, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not one will arrive in the streets of glory and say to the God of heaven, God, I made it on my own because I'm here on my own steam. I want to tell you, friend, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. We looked at the condition. We looked at the contrast. Let's go quickly. Let's look at the cure. Look at verse number 6 or verse 4. It says, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Isn't it amazing something? This man was expecting a coin. And God gave him a cure. That man would have been happy with a coin that day. Because that coin would have helped him to get through his hunger for that occasion. Let me tell you this, my friend. All that the world has got to offer you tonight will never give you a lasting satisfaction. All that the world has got to offer will never change the destiny of your soul or save you from your sin. And that day, instead of giving the man a coin, under God, Peter gave him a cure. Hallelujah. Now, Peter and John addressed the problem. You know, sometimes we try to pacify our conscience by maybe dropping a coin into the box without solving the problem. Sometimes whenever people are in trouble, we give them a handout and we send them away. Do you remember what the disciples said to the multitude, or said to the Lord about the multitude? He said, send them away. We don't want to be bothered with them. And sometimes, friend, listen, whenever you don't want to be bothered, maybe you'll drop the coin in the box just to get rid of them. But it doesn't solve the problem. And it's true, many are not interested in their own spiritual welfare, as this man wasn't interested. He was looking for a coin. But Peter and John knew the cure. And I'm glad I'm able to stand on this pulpit tonight and I'm able to say this. Thank God I know the cure for your problem. I know the answer, the only answer for your sin sick soul. You know, Peter said to him, look on us. Peter was catching his attention. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the woman at the well, he said, woman, give me the drink. He caught her attention. Tell you what caught her attention was that Jesus actually stopped to talk to her at all. Because she was a sinful woman. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, and she was a Samaritan. The Lord Jesus Christ caught her attention. He didn't hit her over the head. He was bringing her a message that she needed that day to change her life. Now, Peter winced. He says, look on us. And the man, he looked up immediately. The Bible says he was expecting to receive the coin. Not the cure. The coin. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Friend, listen, that was true. That was true. Because you remember this. Peter and John left the fishes at the call of Christ. They left their business. And the Lord Jesus says, follow me. And he says, you're not to take purse or not to take any of those things. He said, listen, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. I'm changing your life. And I say to you, young person, and I say to you, older person, let me tell you this. The Lord wants to change your life. The Lord wants to change your destiny. He just doesn't want to change your condition or your circumstances. Make it an easier life here. He wants to make you ready for heaven. He wants to give you a real cure instead of give you the coin. You know, it is true that these men left all for Jesus. And so therefore, when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, he wasn't trying to keep the money for himself. You know, there's some people, let me tell you, and they want everything for themselves. Or they'll have the best of everything, but don't ask them to give their tithe to the Lord. Don't ask them to give to the work of God, or don't ask them to give to the need. Some people say concerning the preacher, you're always begging. I'll tell you this, when people are in need, if you have it, friend, I say to you in God's name, don't turn away the cry of the fatherless. May God give you a soft heart and may God help you, because you can be the means of meeting somebody's need for Christ. The Lord says that if you give a cup of cold water, it'll not go without its reward. May God give you the spirit of hospitality. But Peter was giving an honest answer. He said, silver and gold have I none. He saw the need of this man. Dr. Bill Woods went to Brazil as a young man, and he saw the needs of the people, let me tell you, friend, and God really touched his heart, and he was seeking to bring the gospel to them, and the people were dying of leprosy. And God touched his heart. They would have to do something to heal their bodies and bring the gospel to them to meet the need of their soul. And you know, some people don't like the Christianity that touches their pocket. But what Peter said that day was this: such as I have, give I thee. Thank God he'd got a cure. Do you notice the source of the cure? He said this: in the name of Jesus Christ. There's the source of the cure. And friend, Christ is the answer. Now, I don't know what your particular need is tonight, but I'll tell you this. If you're unsaved tonight, your greatest need is Jesus. Your greatest need is salvation. If you're backslidden in heart, the greatest need you have is get back to the Lord that you've left. The one that you've turned your back upon and you've wandered into bypath meadows. You need to get back. You leave the Lord out of your life, my friend, and I want to tell you this. You'll never have the cure. And the source of the cure was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The cure didn't come from Peter and John. The cure came from the Lord. You know what they did? They appointed him to Jesus. I think there's a lovely little story here in this. I can only just touch on it, friend. But notice what he said here, verse 7. And Peter took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. Sometimes people just pass over that. Peter took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. In other words, listen to me carefully. Peter was willing to reach down and lift up a poor lost soul. And I tell you, there's a lesson for the child of God here. Never think you're too important to reach down and lift some sinner up. If there's somebody in the gutter, friend, don't walk past them. If there's somebody in the depths of sin, friend, don't put your nose in the air and think they're nothing to you. Or they're nothing to me. I want to tell you this. Jesus loves the sinner. And I'll tell you, if you have the heart of Christ, then you love him for Jesus. And Peter was willing to stoop down and take him by the hand. You know, some people think that it's beneath their status to have a heart for sinners. Now, notice what it says. Peter, it says, took him by the right hand. And I think that's interesting too, because you see, the right hand speaks of acceptance, the right hand of fellowship. And he took him by the right hand. It was the honored place, the right hand. Sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And Peter took him from the place of dishonor. Thank God he took him by the right hand. And they accepted him. I want to tell you this. There were those that didn't want to accept Saul of Tarsus when God saved him. But thank God Barnabas reached out the right hand of fellowship and says, you're my brother. Thank God Ananias said, brother Saul. And friend, let me tell you, if the Lord saves somebody, he mightn't be in the same standing as far as the social ladder is concerned as you. But I tell you this, he's not beneath you. He's your brother. Don't ever forget that. And I can tell you this, if you think he is beneath you, then the Lord will have to humble you to remind you that he isn't. And as I looked at this, and it says he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. Listen, we need to be willing under God, if we're going to be used of God, we need to be willing to touch people. We need to be willing to touch people. I read a wee verse and it says this, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. May that be your prayer. And may you mean it. Listen, the source of the cure was Christ. Notice the sufficiency of the cure. Look at verse 7. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones, they received strength. I see two things there. Notice his healing wasn't a process. Friend, let me tell you, you don't grow into salvation. It's a new birth. In actual fact, 54 years ago, well, here I'm giving my way, it's 54 years ago yesterday, the Lord saved me. And thank God I called upon the name of the Lord. It wasn't a process. I wasn't gradually growing into it. This man didn't gradually grow well. I'll tell you what it took. It took a miracle of grace. That's what happened that day. It says, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. The word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a miracle of grace. It wasn't a process, friend, and it wasn't partial. Because thank God it was a genuine, complete, genuine cure. Because the Bible says, and the man, and he leaping, verse 8, stood and leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, this man found out he needed no one else but Jesus. And I want to tell you, friend, you need nobody else but Jesus. We've talked about the man's condition. We've talked about the contrast. We've talked about the cure. Let me give you the last thought, the confirmation. Because notice verse 8. Oh, don't miss the end of the story. Oh, don't go halfway and then miss the rest of it. Notice the confirmation. And he leaping up stood and he walked and he entered with them into the temple and he was walking and he was leaping and he was praising God and all the people saw him walking and praising God and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Here's the confirmation. You know, Peter and John didn't have to go around to convince that a miracle had taken place here. Thank God it was evident. It was evident that the miracle had taken place. And thank God the Bible says they knew it was him. Here, this miracle couldn't be denied. They couldn't argue with the evidence. And I'll tell you this, true salvation will all show itself in the evidence. The Bible says, by your fruits, you shall know them. You'll not have, my friend, apples and fig trees or oranges. It's you have oranges of orange trees. And the apples will have the apple tree, from the apple tree. You see, by your fruits, you shall know it. And the Word of God says this, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. There's a change, friend. And if there's no change, then to be honest, there's no salvation. Now, you say, what's the change here? Listen, notice what it says here, verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood. He was a change of standing. This man never stood in his life, friend. Never stood in his life. Never knew what it was to stand up straight on his feet. But Peter, thank God, he reached down to this wee man sitting upon the mat. And he reaches his hand and he takes him by the right hand of acceptance and fellowship. And he lifts him up onto his feet. And praise God, the Bible says, and he stood. For thank God, the Lord's help able to make you stand. You can take your stand for the Lord, friend. When the Lord changes your life, then you'll be able to take your stand for him. He had a change of standing. Not only, my friend, Will the Lord help us to stand for him? But I'll tell you, we do get a change of standing because the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We are just as if we never had sinned. That's a change of standing. We once were in sin, condemned on our way to hell, but thank God, in a moment of God's grace, in a miracle of God's grace, we have a standing before God just as if I never had sinned. This man was standing. Notice what the Bible says. Not only was he standing, the Bible says he was walking. He had not only a change of his standing, he had a change of his walking. Notice the change of the walking, friend. It says he walked, verse 8, and he entered with them into the temple. And you see a person who's truly saved, he'll want to be in the house of God. He'll want to be among the people of God. And if you get a person and there's no desire to be among the people of God, friend, there's some problem. There's a real problem. Because you'll find that when the Lord changes a man's heart, he'll want to get to the fellowship. He'll want to get to the place of worship. And this man that says he walked, where did he walk? He walked with them. With them. Now the Bible says, can two walk together except to be agreed? Thank God they walked as brethren. He wasn't less than Peter. He wasn't less than John. Thank God he walked with them. They were all in Christ. And that's the bond that there is, friend. I'm not talking about a lodge here. I'm talking about the family of God. And thank God you're brethren, sisters, if you're in the family of God. You're my brother. You're my sister. He walked with them. But then the Bible says this. He not only walked, he was leaping. And then it says this. He was praising God. The Lord gave him some energy, mind you, he was leaping. For a man that never knew what it was to stand on his feet, he got real energy. But I tell you, the Lord can do a miracle, can't he? Change you. His voice started to leap up and down. People thought he was mad. But I tell you, he wasn't mad. He was glad. That's what it was. And I'll tell you something else. Not only was his legs willing to honor the Lord, notice the rest of it. His lips were willing to honor the Lord because the Bible says he was praising God. His legs and his lips, thank God they sang in unison. Glory to God, glory to God. The Lord hath done all things well. That was a confirmation, friend. And then it says in verse 9, and all the people saw. Did they understand what was done? No, they didn't. Do you know what they thought? They thought it was Peter and John. They thought there was a man. It wasn't. The world can't understand. Listen, here's a man comes into a gospel meeting and he's bound and he's fettered and he's chained by sin and he calls on the Lord to save him and God changes his life completely. And he used to curse the stars out of the heaven, friend. And now he's singing the praises of the Lord. Can the world understand that? Not at all. It's only God can do that. And I say with the hymn writer, it is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others. Praise God, he can do for you. And they looked on Peter, but I want to tell you, you just read the rest of it yourself. Tell me, did Peter say, now here's a real moment of my glory? You know, people are going to think I'm great. You know, they'll be falling at my feet and thinking I'm greater. John, we're going to make out of this. No, friend, let me tell you. You know what they did? You know what Peter did? Peter took the opportunity, friend, to tell them of Jesus. He used the opportunity to tell the people that had no time for the Lord. And you look at what Peter preached that day. He preached unto him Jesus, because the Lord was the center of the theme. And you'll find that in verse number 12 of that chapter. He brought them, he taught them of Christ. And just to read that little verse there very quickly as it close. chapter 3 and verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus." And friend, that day, go down to verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." He gave all the glory to Jesus. I tell you tonight, he's the one you need. Christ is the answer. Tell me, do you know him? Do you love him? Can you say, "My Jesus, I love you. I know you're mine." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts tonight. May it be the means of speaking to some precious soul. May it be the means of salvation coming to some poor soul tonight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What a mighty thing it would be that they could say, "That saved a wretch like me." As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, I tell you tonight, just as Peter said, you need Jesus. And he's the only one you need. Christ is the answer. Have you got to say, "I wandered far away from God"? Will you say, "Lord, I'm coming home"? Maybe there's someone backslidden in heart. Friend, listen. He's not stopped loving you. He hasn't, you know. He loves you still. You've wandered from him. Dear unsaved person, you'll never be able to change your heart. It's only the Lord can meet your need. Thank God he can change your heart. Will you come to him? One little verse, and with this will close. "Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come." As we sing this verse, as the invitation is given, if there's a man or woman, boy or girl in the service, you say, "Preacher, I need the Lord. Would you point me to Christ? I'd love to, friend. I'd really love to." Will you come to him? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift that hand above your head to indicate that desire. "Preacher, lead me to Christ, just as I am." "Just as I am." Come and meet me there. Slip around the side of the building or through the door here at the front. Don't leave without the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.